We're back. We're back. It's good to be back. I was actually speaking to Natasha now, and it's good that I have this one show per week. I like it. It suits me. I feel like I can get a lot out of this show than if I were to host a daily show, which is what we used to do when we first launched. I'm not saying that I never looked forward to doing the daily show when we did it, but I just felt like I couldn't get a lot out of it. And this show, I can get a lot out of it. It's nice. I look forward to this show per week. It suits me a lot in regards to my schedule, although I'm still using crutches. I had my stitches taken out on Tuesday, but they've advised me that I still need to use crutches just to help take off some pressure of my foot. So I'm still using this brace that they've given me. But hopefully next week things will be back to normal, and I'll be back to doing my other job, my second job that I do. But I must say the stitches, when they were taking the stitches out, it wasn't as painful as I thought it would be painful. You speak to people who have had stitches taken out, and some people describe it as painful. Someone described it to me as being ticklish. It was neither of those. You know, obviously you feel the when they touch the stitch, but you don't actually feel the stitch coming out. It was quite an interesting feeling, but I'm happy that that's taken out and I can focus on getting my foot back and working again. I'll tell you, using these crutches, which, by the way, I didn't know this. I only discovered this yesterday. But I was laying on the couch after we went out to have some drinks, because I got, you know, something I don't do often, which I'm sure you guys all know. I don't usually go out, and when I do, you know, it's a really nice thing. I enjoy going out, catching up with friends, and finding out how their life is and what's new and all of that. I enjoy that. But after I came home, after this waiter, this arsehole waiter, I'll get to that in a minute, but after this arsehole waiter pissed me off, you know, I was sitting on the couch, and I'm looking at these crutches. You know, they're very basic crutches. There's nothing special about them. And I'm looking at these things, and I can see right at the top corner, made in Germany. I'm thinking, yes. That is the only reason why I'm in no pain at all when I walk. I don't feel bad at all when I'm using them. So I'm happy. In fact, I actually want to keep using these crutches even if my foot has healed, just because it's made in Germany. So that kind of made me happy after the waiter pissed me off and irritated me. Honestly, I'm. It all started as a joke, right? So we went out, and you know, it came time to paying, and my one friend said to the waiter, can we get the bill? And this was the quickest I have ever seen a waiter get the bill, because usually, you know, you have to remind them three times, speak to them in Mandarin, and maybe in 2 hours they'll come and bring you the bill. But this guy brought the bill very quickly, so I was very impressed. In fact, he brought the bill quicker than he brought the drinks to the table. Anyway, so I made a joke and I said, "Oh, let's split the bill." And this arsehole said, "No, no, you can't split the bill. It's already been done. If you want to split the bill, you can send each other tickies afterwards, but you can't split the bill. Sorry, guys, but I'm too busy. I'm sorry, what? Now, I don't know about you, but I would have... He pissed me off so bad that I actually wanted to tell him, take the service charge off. Because if you're going to be a prick, if you're going to be an arsehole like that, you don't deserve any money at all. And then, you know, my friend still wants to vouch for the guy and says, oh, but wait, he's busy. You know, no, if I was a waiter, I would have left the bill on the table, you know, gone around, cleared the table, maybe take some more drinks to the table, and then come around and said, hey, are you guys ready to pay? Not what this fucking arsehole did. God. You know, I don't usually let things irritate me. You know, I'm a very free-spirited person, but fuck, that irritated me. So of course, you know, because I didn't see my friends for a while, you know, I paid. I didn't want to pay, but you know, I paid for the drinks we had. But man, I was cursing in every single language you could think of going back to where I stay. I don't know about you, Natasha, but how do you think you would have felt?
Look, was the bar or the restaurant busy?
It was busy, sure, but you don't say to someone, sorry, the bill's already been generated, you can't split it.
Look, I've never been a waiter. I suck at carrying trays. I'm terribly clumsy, so I never spent my teenage or my early student years waitering. But I had friends who did that. And you know what? The abuse that waiters get. So, you know, if he's already generated the bill, maybe he didn't communicate in the best way. But, I wouldn't have been too hard on the waiter. I feel terribly bad for these guys. I always think that they're treated very, very badly.
Hmm. Look.
You're just a diva, Wade. You're just a diva.
I would have just, if I was, and I was a waiter, and God, jeez, people, and those poor people who I served knew I was a waiter because I hated them. I just wanted them to leave. But if that was me, I would have just left the bill on the table and said, guys, whenever you're ready, and then gone around, you know, clean some tables, take some drinks out, and then, you know, you don't push people to pay straight away. Because that's what he did. And that's what infuriated me. Because you were very quick to generate the bill. That was the quickest I ever saw this guy come back to the table. We had to wait a while for drinks. Yes, it was busy. Yes, I'm not saying that was the issue. I can understand that. But the fact that we asked for the bill and the bill arrived at the table quicker than our drinks did. And then you still have the audacity to be an arsehole. And say, no, this is all done. You can send each other tickies, which for people who don't live in the Netherlands, a tickie is an application. Basically, if you need somebody to buy you something or to lend you money, instead of sending a bank transfer, you send a tickie. You do it via WhatsApp, which, you know, I wouldn't let that happen anyway because it was my treat. But still, that irritates me so much. You know what? And I'm actually lucky this guy's a waiter. Because that's the only job he's only going to ever be good at. Because with that attitude, you're not going to get very far in your workplace, in any workplace. So I'm actually, you know what? I'm actually glad he's a waiter. There, I had my rant. I get so angry. I mean, I don't go out often anyway. So when I do go out, you know...
But that's the point. When you do go out, you always have a disaster. So maybe you should go out more so that you have less disasters. Or, yeah, stay the hermit that you are.
Well, I'm definitely not going back there again. Because, yeah, it was just, anyway. Woosa, woosa. Now, this is very interesting. Now, during the 1990s, Russian teachers were paid with vodka bottles. Now, using vodka instead of cash made sense when the actual currency was almost worthless, as the USSR collapsed and hyperinflation soared. Russians referred to the rubles as wooden money, some of them referred to it as monopoly money. In 1998, authorities in one Siberian district gave 8,000 school teachers 15 bottles apiece in lieu of wages. The initial proposal, according to a UPI report, had been toilet paper and coffins, but vodka is the favored substitute as the only thing that can be freely sold or exchanged for other than bread or other foods. Can you believe that, huh?
Well, I think in the pandemic now, people would actually take probably payment in toilet paper since it's the first thing that they hoard when a lockdown is called.
Yes. That's, I don't know. I don't know how I would feel about that. You know, getting paid for a profession that you have obviously a passion for, but you get paid in alcohol instead of money.
Different strokes for different folks.
How would you feel about that?
Look, I'm not Russian and I barely drink these days, so I would probably not be happy. But knowing a bit of a background of you know, when it used to be the USSR and how much the Russians do love their vodka, I would suppose back in the early 90s, if that was the case, you'd be happy with your vodka too.
I think, in fact, today most Russians would probably be happy if you gave them vodka in exchange of rubles, because I think the rubble is still pretty worthless. So probably vodka is more valuable than the current currency. But interesting. I love things like this. Now, chocolate. Listen to this. Chocolate can give you a sleeping disorder, which causes sufferers to act out violent nightmares, according to scientists in a recent new report. Now, the disorder, called rapid eye movement sleep behavior disorder, or RBD, affects around 1 in 200 people and is more commonly experienced by men. Now, those affected are said to lash out in their sleep and shout weird things out whilst they're dreaming. They say the caffeine in the chocolate blocks the normal sleep process, which paralyzes you during your dream. Other foods which cause bad dreams. Do you want to take a guess what other foods cause bad dreams?
Well, if they said the caffeine in the chocolate, probably coffee.
Probably. I would go for coffee. I used to get told, this isn't on the list, by the way, but I used to get told by my parents that if you eat fruit before you go to bed, it gives you nightmares. And I was paranoid about that.
I never heard that. I got things like this will give your stomach ache. But I never got that this will give you nightmares. I never got that speech as a kid.
My parents used to scar me with all of these things. I mean, you know, they used to tell me Afrikaans people wear, the reason they barefoot is because apparently when they're kids, they make their kids walk on fire ashes, and that's why they always barefoot.
Oh, no scars on these feet.
So my parents did a pretty good job scarring me. And they used to tell me, oh, you can't eat fruit before you go to bed. Gives you nightmares. Jesus. So other foods that cause bad dreams. Now, this is according to scientists, right? So you can use it. You cannot use this information. Maybe, I'm sure you're a good parent, Natasha. I'm sure you know, let your kids eat whatever they want before they go to bed. Now, apparently cheese has a big reputation for causing nightmares. Now, apparently Stilton cheese can result in dreams that are bizarre or crazy. And pizza is one of the worst things to eat before bed. with scientists adding that it's a big contributor to nightmares. So you can use this advice or you cannot use this advice, but very interesting. So if you do have kids and you do tell your kids, you know, if you are one of these parents like my parents were, and you want to tell your kids what not to eat before you go to bed, tell them they can't eat cheese, specifically Stilton cheese.
Or pizza. Mm. Or chocolate. Well, Friday night is pizza night in my house. So both my boys had pizza for dinner. And it was normal margarita, so basically tomato sauce and cheese.
Yeah.
Not Stilton, though. But let's see if they sleep through or not.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying what your kids ate was disgusting. It's just
they're gonna have nightmares.
Well, they're gonna have nightmares, but I don't eat tomatoes. So
but you're just weird, Wade. You are just weird.
You've only discovered this now. So when I order a pizza, people look at me like I'm weird, but when I order a pizza, I don't order it with the sauce. I order it with the toppings and the cheese.
But isn't that dry, though?
Mm-mm, it's actually quite good. It's actually really good. And just to show you that I'm not that strange, my ex-girlfriend, who was Italian, tried this because she couldn't believe what she was seeing. She tried it and she said, well, this is actually better. It's better without the sauce than with the sauce. So, that's neat. That's coming from an Italian's mouth who don't like pineapples on pizza. And pineapples on pizza are delicious. I don't care what you say.
I'm a fan. Mm. I don't know if it's a South African thing, but yeah, we love our pineapple, especially on a Hawaiian. That is not Hawaiian. But yeah, that's where it comes from for us.
It interests me why they call it a Hawaiian, because Hawaiians don't eat... I don't think they eat pizza in general.
Look, wait, the amount of proliferation of cultures and the misappropriation in a lot of countries. I mean, we call a lot of things a lot of weird things.
Mm. Yeah, it's just very interesting that. But anyway, since travel is slowly going back to pre-COVID times, some of us may have forgotten the rules of flying on an aeroplane, you know, the do's and don'ts. So a flight attendant has actually made a video to remind us certain things, amongst them, why we should never wear shorts on a plane. So do you want to hear this?
I'd love to, because I haven't been on a plane in 2 years.
All right, so this is what the flight attendant says and why we apparently shouldn't wear shorts on an airplane. Let me get some audio to this. Hang on. Right. I have to just wait for the advert to finish playing, because you know, ever since Corona happened, corporations and advertisers have lodged onto this. Okay, here we go. Here is a flight attendant telling us the do's and don'ts and why we shouldn't wear shorts on an airplane. Have a listen to this.
5 things you should never do on an airplane. Number 1, do not ever touch the flush button or lever with your bare hands. It's honestly just super unsanitary and it's pretty gross. So when you flush, use a napkin or a tissue that's in the lavatory. Number 2, don't forget to drink water. Stay hydrated. You want to have about 16 ounces for every flight that you go on. Just keep that in mind.
That's also, by the way, it's not just because of that, but it's also if you are flying a long distance, like for example, if you fly to South Africa, which is 10 hours, 11 hours or something like that.
11.
Obviously, your ears get blocked. So you need something to constantly unblock your ears. I mean, you can swallow your spit, but you're going to die halfway through the trip because you're going to run out of saliva. So that's one of the reasons. You should also drink if you're flying long distances or in general. You know, if you aren't used to flying a lot, you know, your ears sometimes aren't used to the high velocity which the airplane is flying. So that's also why you should drink. Hang on, let me go back to the to the page. Oh, come on.
You want to have about 16 ounces for every flight that you go on. Just keep that in mind. Number three, do not fall asleep or lean your head on the window. You're not the only one who has done that, and you don't know how many people or children have wiped their hands or other things all over the window. Number four, don't or try not to wear shorts when you're on an airplane. It's the same thing as the window. You never know how clean it's going to be. So if you have pants, you're going to have less germs. Number five, don't feel afraid to let a flight attendant know if you're feeling sick. We are there to help. So if you need food, water, or an air, you never know how clean it's going to be. So if you have pants, you're going to have less germs. Number five, don't feel afraid to let a flight attendant know if you're feeling sick. We are there to help. So if you need food, water, or an air sickness bag, please feel free to let us know.
So there you go. There are some tips on what you should do and not do when you fly on an airplane, since travel is now, according to some figures, almost at 80% capacity, which is good news. But, you know, some of us may have, because it's been so long, some of us have peanut brains and have forgotten the rules and do's and don'ts. I didn't know wearing shorts was quite a big thing on an aeroplane. I wear shorts on an aeroplane. I've never had that thought in my mind that the chairs are dirty. I mean, the chairs are probably more cleaner than resting your head on the window, which is something I never do. Never, ever do. I think the worst thing is, I mean, this video actually just reminded me that the worst thing is touching the toilet button. I never knew this. I raised my hand and I didn't even think about this. God. So there we go. If you are flying and you want to use the toilet, make sure that you use a tissue or toilet paper to flush the toilet when you press the button. And don't put your head on the window. I mean, just don't do that in general. I mean, Jesus. Ugh, God. Should we get into some news?
Let's do it.
All right. Did you learn anything from this?
Well, I learned that I do all the right things because I never wear shorts on a plane. Number one, never mind the germs. It's too damn cold. It's always too cold on a plane. And number two, if you do fall asleep, that's why you invest in a neck cushion, so you don't have to put your head against a window or your neighbor.
I've actually used one of those before, but maybe it was just the one I was using or something, but I actually had more neck pain using it than without it.
Oh, no, they're fabulous. I've even taught my kids how to sleep with them. They're fantastic for long-haul flights. I mean, I'm one of those people who used to fly a lot. If you want to get any sleep, then that's the way to go.
Well, there you go. Some top tips from the producer of the show. Now, drinking a small amount of alcohol each day can lower your risk of heart attack, stroke, angina, or an early death if you are living with heart disease. Now, the benefit was seen in people with heart disease who drank on average 6 grams of alcohol per day. Now, the study only applies to people who have already had something that happens to them relating to cardiovascular, said professors at the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington. I can already tell some people who do listen to the podcast are going to start drinking and say, no, this is okay. Scientists say this is okay.
But how much is 6 grams, though? I always find it so odd when they describe things that are in liquid form in grams. It shouldn't be milliliters. How many milliliters is 6 grams? I find that fascinating. Is it a shot? Is it half a shot? Is it half a tot? Because six gram doesn't sound like a lot.
I would say 6 grams is probably half a beer or half a glass of wine, if you can get half a glass of wine.
The amount of alcohol in the drink.
No, it says the benefit was seen in people with heart disease who drank an average of 6 grams of alcohol per day. So
that still boggles my mind. I want to know what that translates into. Because an alcohol is a liquid form. You don't measure liquid in grams, which is strange to me. This boggles me. I'm going to Google it. And then hopefully on the next show we can say that's how much you need a drink.
Okay. Google it. That's I'll be fascinated to know as well. I think from what I can see from this, I think what they mean is if you have half a glass of beer or wine or a small percentage, but I don't know. I don't drink a lot of alcohol in general, so Google it. It'll be interesting to hear what it is.
Oh, here's something that says the ideal amount of alcohol for an adult to drink is just 5 grams a day, equivalent to roughly 2 standard glasses of wine or 3.5 units of alcohol each week.
Right.
Okay. You see, you and I clearly don't drink. I mean, we have to get the better drinkers in here. Mm. We're clearly useless. So for those listening to the show, maybe you can, you know, educate us on what 6 grams equates to in alcohol, how many units that is.
Yeah, and I have a friend, by the way, who carries a bottle of wine in their bag. You know, like, you know, girls carry not a handbag, it's like a material bag. It's like a university bag.
Well, we carry our lives in our bags.
Yes, well, clearly that bottle of wine is their life. So clearly, you know, I'm not alcoholic or anything. I'm not saying she is, but it just fascinates me that there's always a bottle of wine in her bag. Anyway, now, footage of Dutch crime reporter Peter de Vries, taken shortly after he had been shot, is thought to have been filmed and posted on the internet by those involved in his murder. Investigators believe two men had been standing ready and waiting before he was attacked as part of a plan to film and post the images on the internet in order to attract maximum publicity. Videos of bystanders coming to help the journalist swiftly went viral before YouTube eventually removed the videos. Now, what interests me and what shocks me about this is that I thought that when you upload a video to YouTube, someone at the YouTube headquarters views your video and then makes a decision straight away. I didn't know that if you upload a video, it takes 1 or 2 days before, or unless in this case, a couple hours, because obviously it got reported as violent content.
Yeah, there is no way that human beings can monitor 24/7. I mean, if you look at the statistics, I don't even have the update, but there are literally thousands of minutes of video being uploaded at the same time. So no human being can track that. I know a lot of Facebook, YouTube, they run on algorithms. And then when something is flagged, I think then there is a human being involved. I watched an interesting documentary the other day about people who used to work for Facebook and then do the reviews and how much, you know, mentally scarred they are by the things that they've seen and how they get no support from their employers or prior warning of what they can see. But yeah, there's no human beings directly involved. It's just the volume of videos produced and published. It's just too vast, and they only get reviewed once they're flagged. So somebody has to literally click on report the video. Otherwise it stays there.
Mm. And what's even more shocking is that, you know, obviously what these attackers did, because, you know, they knew exactly what they were doing by recording it and then uploading it onto the internet. It blows my mind that you'd want to do something like that. But anyway.
Well, it's terrorism. What's the goal of terrorism? You want to create terror and fear in people.
Yeah.
So what better way to do it is to, you know, commit a heinous crime and let the whole world see it with a bird's eye view or a first-hand view. It's a form of terrorism.
Mm. Well, of course, and images are very powerful. So a police source told NOS, or NOS, if you want maximum attention, you do this kind of stuff. To ensure these shocking videos immediately spread across the internet. Can you hear that, by the way?
Do you have a child hidden away in your apartment somewhere?
I don't know what is happening outside the studio, but I think some people are drunk or something. But I can hear, like, shouting and screaming and Can you hear that?
I heard something and then it was gone. So
well, you're lucky. Lucky. The studio is soundproof. So, I mean, you have to laugh really loud outside for me to actually hear it.
Well, it's Friday night. People are partying.
Well, speaking of wasting your money. Now, wasting your money just got even easier. Starting from Monday, you'll no longer need to quarantine in the UK, coming from the Netherlands. However, you will still have to show a negative test on arrival and take a PCR test on the second day of your visit, despite being fully vaccinated. Now, the British government is so desperate for foreign money, since the Tory party spent most of the country's relief money on Essex orgies and dodgy face mask deals, that it has agreed to relax the rules for European visitors and people from the US, and what they hope will be a boost for the tourism sector. Holiday makers returning to the Netherlands from England will still have to show a negative test result and spend at least 5 days thinking about their decision as to why they decided to go to England in the first place, whilst curled up in a ball, rocking yourselves backwards and forwards in quarantine. What is the point of going anyway if you are fully vaccinated, still have to take a test and take a PCR test on your second day of visit? Beats me. But why would you want to go to England in the first place? I have no idea. Now, sticking with the UK, here's something for you to think about taking your two boys to over the summer holidays, Natasha. Dressed as a dildo rainbow monkey has been booked for a kids reading event in London. Now, he comes complete with exposed buttocks, and you'll even be able to see his fake penis flapping around as he dances. And this is all supposedly to raise awareness for homosexuality and the LGBTQ community. So if you have, you know, since you are taking your summer holidays after today's show, and you want to take your boys to go see something, you can take your boys to go see that.
I'm flabbergasted.
Booking your ticket right now.
Honestly, take my credit card. Take it.
If I were gay and I read this, I would be mortified. I'd be absolutely mortified if this is what people perceive homosexuality to be.
But this tickles me now, because I cannot think that anybody from the actual LGBTQ plus community would come up with something like that. I mean, as you say, it's like somebody's weird interpretation or making a mockery of something. I don't think any sane person from the community would come up with something like this, because it doesn't represent the community at all. It's as you say, it sounds like a bit of a mockery to me.
Well, no, I think because it's a library, I think this library is wanting to raise awareness for the LGBTQ community. I don't think the LGBTQ plus community would actually go ahead with something like
that. But that's what I'm saying. So it's somebody's interpretation of what they think it is. That's why it's, you know, people should just involve people who actually know something about anything before they do something. I know people's intent is always good, but I mean, it's the same thing when you're having an event about racism. You know, make sure that it's either sanctioned or the people that are directly involved are people who are affected by racism. It's the same thing with organizing an event for people with disabilities to do the same. If it's an event to raise the struggles but also the rights of the LGBTQ plus community, make sure they're involved, because it sounds a bit over the top and unrealistic to me, but hey, what do I know? I don't know.
Well, this is the UK, and I don't know why you would want to take your child to a event with a guy dressed as a rainbow monkey, a dildo rainbow monkey.
A rainbow monkey, I get. That's kind of cute. But a dildo attached? Not so much.
Well, I mean, you know. That's just the UK for you. Now, yesterday, July the 29th, was marked as Earth Overshoot Day. Now, basically, this is the date when humanity's demand for ecological resources and services in a given year exceeded what Earth can regenerate for the whole year. Now, does this sound grim? Well, it is. We're only 214 days into 2021, and we're basically living on our savings, so to speak. We've used all our rent money for the majority for the rest of the year, and this is what we're having to get by on for the rest of the year. Earth is running out of natural resources, and we're running out of time and resources. And this is one of the reasons why I've actually made a decision to not actually have kids. And I spoke about this with my friend the other day. And the only reason is because of stuff like this. Because what I don't want is to bring a human into this world and for them to have to adapt their life every 2 years, or if things really get worse, every year have to adapt to the living situation. Nobody wants that. I don't want that. I'm sure Natasha doesn't want that. I'm sure no child wants to have to adapt to...
Well, it's a bit late for me, seeing that I have two.
Yeah, but your kids are old enough to... You know,
they're 2 and 6, Wade. I'm not sure how old you need to be.
That's old enough. But, you know, you get my point. You know, I don't want to bring a child and have to think they're going to have to adapt their living lifestyle every 2 years or every year.
Look, I totally get the sentiment. Leo and I, you know, when we initially got together all those many years ago, we initially also said we didn't want children. We believed that we were, you know, our family unit was complete without kids. And that we'd be the cool and uncles. And obviously life happened and we have two beautiful boys today. But, mm-hmm. you know, each person needs to decide what works for them. There is no right. There is no wrong. I hate people trying to emotionally, you know, make people feel guilty for A, having children, or taking the decision not to. At the end of the day, it's just, yeah, do what you need to do. But I do get the sentiment of why so many people decide not to. You know, if I had to do it all over again, yeah, I wonder what I would choose for. Not that I would ever not have my kids, but yeah, it's an interesting topic.
By the way, I wasn't making you feel bad. I was just...
Dude, my boys make me... Nobody can abuse you more than two children, so it takes a lot to... it's not about the making feel bad or justification. It is a very interesting topic. I mean, it's something that I'm having discussions with my own family on. You know, I have two brothers who don't want kids either, and I completely get why.
Mm. Well, look, you know, amongst other things, why I don't want to have kids. I mean, look, I mean, I'm in crutches. I'm struggling to look after myself, and now you want me to bring a human into this world.
Yeah, you man, baby.
I mean, I hate going to the bathroom and having to wipe my ass. I'm mortified about that, and I have to wipe another human's ass when they...
Well, you can always come and practice on my youngest one, where we've only started potty training.
No, thank you. I'm okay. I'm quite happy to date someone. And yeah. By the way, speaking of this, did you see my post I put on Facebook?
Which one?
What do you mean, which one? I don't go on Facebook that often. I put a post yesterday. I'm not going to go on Facebook to read it, but I think off the top of my head it said, I've only just realized this now, as in yesterday, that...
Oh, yes, I remember your post about you're the only one of your family and cousins who hasn't had kids.
Who hasn't had kids, married with kids, married... Or just have kids. I'm the only one in my family, and it's only dawned upon me now that this is the case, and maybe that's why I'm such a disappointment to my family.
I we're four kids. I'm the only one that's married.
Okay. So I don't feel that bad.
So none of my three brothers are married. So they all have partners. My one brother was married, but he got divorced within 2 years. So they're your age. So it's normal, I think.
Yeah, it's only dawned upon me. Maybe that's an achievement, you know, because I've done things differently to my family. I don't know, but I think, look, it's also maybe a different generation. I don't know what it is, but it dawned upon me yesterday that this is the case. Anyway, enough about me talking about having kids or not and being horrified to wipe my ass when I go to the toilet. Scientists at the University of San Diego have invented a gadget that turns sweaty skin into a power source that can recharge your phone whilst you sleep. How cool is that?
Now that sounds fabulous for anybody with night sweats.
Ooh. Or if you come back from the gym and you don't shower. Now, wearing the device, you have to wear this device for 10 hours whilst you sleep, and it can produce enough power to run a watch for 24 hours. Experts describe this development as the holy grail of energy harvesting. That's fascinating. One very good example is, I'm not going to hop on this too much, but the new generation of Formula One cars. Basically, a very long, boring, geeky story short. Formula One cars in the past, when they used to brake for the corner, they used to waste so much energy that these new generation Formula One cars, they recycle this energy. So from when they brake, that energy that they've potentially wasted goes back into recharging the battery power points in the car. And then that battery power point gives you a extra like power boost. There's a special button on the steering wheel that they use it for like overtaking or something. So this is basically what this sweat device can do. That's awesome. See the geek coming out of me, the geekiness coming out of me. That's pretty cool. Now, lastly in the news, Dutch universities are aiming to open to full capacity for the upcoming academic year without social distancing and preferably without compulsory testing. Despite the surge in the Delta variant infections, particularly amongst younger people, universities do not plan to operate under restrictions come the autumn. Peter Dusenberg, head of the Dutch Universities Association, said this has to be the top of the list of priorities. He goes on to say that compulsory testing, which the government may require from September, would be an enormous logistical challenge, he told reporters. He also said that universities are not festivals with only one entrance. Dutch campuses are made up of various buildings and in some cases are scattered throughout cities. Interesting. Very interesting that. And that's going to be interesting. I think universities now are like, you know what? Most, you know, obviously they're relying on most of the population to be vaccinated. So they're saying, you know what? Let's just go back to full capacity. See what happens. I mean, the worst that can happen is you'll have to go back home and study again. But interesting to see that universities are pushing for this to happen, if not are already planning for the academic year to start at full capacity. Interesting. And no, that wasn't the last story. Actually, I'm lying. This is the last story. Oh, Wade. Sticking with the Netherlands. A chef has created the world's most expensive burger, and he's selling it for 5,000 euros. The burger is called Golden Boy, and it's been created by Robert Jan Devine of the Dalton's Diner in Furthäusern. Did I say that correctly? Furthäusern. I think that's what I said.
I have no idea. I'd have to.
You're the Dutch one here.
Yeah, but I don't even know what word you're trying to pronounce. It sounds so weird.
Anyway, it's in Furthäusern. And basically, the ingredients include beluga caviar, king crab, Spanish paleta iberico, and white truffle. The barbecue sauce on the burger is made with kopi luwak, which is a expensive coffee bean. And the burger bun, listen to this, is made with Dom Perignon champagne dough. Mm. I don't know if that's worth 5,000 euros, but definitely worth some money. That's for sure. And that was the news. Now, sticking with this.
Wait, the word you're looking for is Furthäusern.
I just said it without the accent. I said it the very English way. Where is that, actually?
I actually don't even know. Look, I don't know the Netherlands that well. Let's quickly see if we can see somewhere. Furthäusern is close to what? Let's open the Google Maps here. See if it's actually in a province I know.
It must be somewhere near Limburg, I'm guessing.
According to you, everything is close to Limburg. You asked me the other day whether I was going to have a holiday there, and the place I'm going is on the other side of the country.
It's only because
It's close to Barneveld.
I have no idea where that is. But the only reason I brought up Limburg and the previous conversation was because I was generally worried because of the flooding that happened.
This place is don't worry, Wade. I'm holidaying far from the flooding. I'm in the Dutch countryside, in the Veluwe. I'll be safe.
Yeah, well, that's good. I can't lose this producer of mine. You're very valuable to me and the show.
Yeah, I'm cheap labor.
Don't tell people my secrets. Just a quick mention, because obviously I'm a bit crippled, I can't exactly walk to the supermarkets, and I don't do this often. This is a rarity, and it's a real exemption, but I've been ordering some Uber lately, some Uber Eats, and there's this burger place. It's called the Naughty Panda. Oh my God. They make the most incredible burgers. Now, it's not traditional burgers they make. They make rib burgers. Oh my God, these burgers. They've got I was actually in touch with the owner of this restaurant. Do yourselves a favor, by the way, if you are within the Oost area of Amsterdam, do yourselves a favor and go to the Naughty Panda. They've got a special. I don't know how long it's for, but they've got a special. Buy one, get one free. So you get a rib burger. Obviously, all the, you know, just the bones have been taken out, so it's just the meat. It's incredible. The burger is huge. You get fries, and you get another one for free. So you're paying 15 euros for an extra burger. It's fantastic. Do yourselves a favor. If you are in the Oost area of Amsterdam, go try the Naughty Panda. It will blow your mind, literally. I don't eat out a lot, and I don't order Uber a lot, but the burgers are just so good. I mean, that's just one of the specials they have. They've got other specials, but the one I've been getting recently, it's the buy one, get one free rib burger. Do yourselves a favor. Seriously, it's... it'll change your mind on how burgers are actually created and should be made, and it's cheaper than 5,000 euros as well, because you're only going to be paying 15 euros plus whatever the service charge is for delivery. But do yourselves a favor, if you are in the Oost area, go to the Naughty Panda, go try them out. You won't be disappointed. All right, everybody. You're going on holiday, Natasha, so you're not going to be here for quite a while, actually.
For 3 weeks, I'll be sitting in my jacuzzi in the Fairlawer with my glass of gin. And I just said I don't drink, but I will be drinking this holiday. Enjoying the countryside, enjoying the jacuzzi. And I'll be listening to the show instead of contributing to it.
Well, you see, this is the great thing about a podcast, is that you don't have to listen. You can listen whenever you want. So there you go. I'm still going to be here next week. You know, the show must go on. Before I leave, by the way, I'm not getting paid to say this service that's being offered. Don't worry, I'm not offering blowjobs or anything like that.
Wait, escort service not paid for yet.
No, not yet. I'm working on this, by the way. There's a company called All421. So All number 4 20. You write 20, not the number 20, not the numeric one. Basically, it's a service that offers deep cleaning, terrace cleaning, oven cleaning, sofa cleaning. They're in Amsterdam. They also go to Amstelveen. So there you go, Natasha, if you want to get your balcony cleaned or your oven deep cleaned or...
Oven, definitely.
Go do yourselves a favor. They're also on Instagram. All number 4, you write 21. If I made that very clear, I don't know if I made that very clear. It's a guy called Robert. I think he's doing some pretty interesting stuff. You can go have a look at all the work he's done on social media, on his Instagram account. Message him for a quote. I'm sure he'll give you a very good quote. He's got before and after pictures. And, well, it's not often I get very excited about someone offering a cleaning service, but the quality that he does in the service is second to none. So do yourselves a favor. If you have, obviously, I'm sure everyone has Instagram now. Type in All number 4, type in 20, not the right 20, not the numeric one, and then one, the number one at the end. All 421. Message him, follow him, like the pictures. I think he's doing a terrific job. And by the way, as I said, I'm not being paid to talk about this and his services. I just think because he's doing such a good job and he's just started. This is not something he's been doing for the past year. He's just started this and he's already got, his next week is already fully booked. So there you go. You see, if anything, this pandemic has shown and taught us to be very, very mobile, you know, to do things by ourselves, start a business. If anything, this is what the pandemic has shown us, and long may this perceive. I encourage many people to start their own business. You know, there's a business for you out there, for you to start. All right, everybody. Have yourselves a terrific weekend. I'll be back next week, Friday. Natasha's going to be sipping on some cocktails in a nice sunny place. And hopefully things will be back better with my foot. And hopefully I'll be back to normal next week physically. We'll chat next week.